You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As always, we kick off the show with how the markets have been moving, and there's lots to look into there. And I'm joined on the line by the head of research at FNB Wealth and Investments, Chantal Marks, to try and unpack some of the movements and developments that we've been seeing of late. Good evening, Chantal. Lovely to speak to you again. Let's start by reflecting on the GDP numbers. Perhaps start with yesterday's numbers. Yesterday's PMI numbers suggested that business activity had come down. Today's GDP numbers confirmed that with a contraction of 0.1%. This wasn't a surprise, or were you surprised? Were there any sectors that stood out for you?
So we knew it was going to be weak. I mean, the high frequency data, and particularly in mining and manufacturing, has been telling us that it was going to be weak. It was slightly worse than expected. And a lot of that came from a lower than anticipated rebound in agriculture in the first quarter, and then the consumer being quite weak. So consumption expenditure really coming under pressure in the first quarter. And I think that that is just a function of inflation and interest rates. I mean, we're both consumers, Jimmy. You know how tough it is out there. And this has now started to filter through into spending.
That's definitely the case. And I mean, I was just chatting to my producer Caldora around this just before we went on air, saying that the price of certain things, especially in the agricultural space, doesn't make too much sense. But we'll look into that a little later on when we look at the agricultural side of things. Chantal, I want to look at some of the movements throughout the day. Resources were down 3.2% on the day. Now, last week we saw that ahead of the elections, financials were down, but subsequently following that, they almost recovered the next day. So they were down 3.5%. The next day they were up 3.2% after we sort of knew where we were going with the election outcome. What happened today with resources, given that we kind of already knew where we stood with elections and that couldn't have been the driving factor?
Yes, I don't think that it was the driving factor. I think that commodity prices have been under a little bit of pressure, and particularly today we saw a bit of a slump in the platinum as well as the gold price. And that would have had an impact on the major gold and platinum mining shares. And then I think generally when we look at the diversified miners at the moment, there's a bit of uncertainty around the path ahead following that collapse of the BHP Anglo deal. So I think that we are seeing a little bit of hesitation from big investors when it comes to investing in the diversified miners, because we need to start asking ourselves where the growth is going to come from. So either these guys are going to buy their growth because they're not investing in additional supply, or they're going to have to start investing. So I think that these kinds of factors are what's top of mind for investors currently. But yeah, I think mostly the commodity prices, and then probably the corporate activity as a secondary factor.
Speaking of buying the growth, what does this mean now that we know BHP's all but walked away from this Anglo deal? We're obviously going to see an Anglo unbundling of sorts, as the CEO has previously hinted towards. Does this mean the likes of Glencore are waiting patiently in the wings to see which assets are of value? I know off the top of my head, the ARM stable, African Rainbow Minerals, bought up copper operations in Canada, if I'm not mistaken. Does this mean that the likes of ARM and the likes of Glencore might be looking at copper assets that sit within Anglo and say, when the unbundle happens, that's kind of where we want to lean into?
So I don't necessarily think ARM will be able to afford Anglo-American's copper assets at this point in time, but I definitely think that Glencore is taking it quite seriously. From what I understand, the Glencore management team were actually in South Africa a few weeks ago, round about the time that we were at the height of the speculation around whether or not this BHP acquisition will actually take place. So I do think that they are scratching around a little bit. But they'll have to be a little bit more clever than BHP was about it, because you do have to get buy-in, I think, from the biggest shareholders, which include the PIC. And for that to happen, you need to start thinking about what happens to the South African assets as well. Now, Anglo-American at this point in time will be pushed to go through with the restructuring plan that they put on the table when BHP was still circling that business. And that includes the unbundling of Anglo-American Platinum, the sale or the unbundling of De Beers, and also the sale of some of their other businesses. And worryingly, it also includes a pullback in capital expenditure on the fertilizer side, which was actually supposed to be a source of growth for them. So I think that they still have to refine their strategy. And then I think that we can still see something come through from Glencore, but at this point in time, it's pure speculation.
Absolutely, and we can only speculate up to a point. We'll have to wait for SENS announcements to come out that give us more direction around where we go to from here. Something else that we did get an announcement of, and it seems to be this is a lot clearer, is the conversation around Rainbow. We know that RCL announced a couple of weeks ago that they intended to unbundle and separately list Rainbow. We finally got a listing date of that. It looks to be the 26th of June, and I remember when you and I spoke about the We Buy Cars listing, you were spot on with the unbundling price and where the share price was going to go. So I'm going to ask you to do the same for Rainbow. Your thoughts and predictions around where we could list?
So I can't do that for Rainbow yet because we haven't had the financials come through yet. We only get the pre-listing statement on the 10th of June. But when I talk to you after the 10th of June, please come back with that question to me. I really love valuing companies, and it's really exciting to see what they put on the table, because I know RCL is unbundling Rainbow because it doesn't fully fit into its current portfolio and they think that it can do better on its own. But I think that they won't be listing it if it does not have decent prospects. So I'm looking forward to analyzing that in detail.
I think there's definitely going to be a lot to unpack there, especially with what we know about the state of South African businesses and unbundling and unlocking value for shareholders. That certainly is a pretty picture that we want to look into there. Chantel, I want to jump to the Rand. Perhaps we can look at that. It's been holding kind of steady relative to the market movements that have been taking place, right? And we're seeing a bit of weakness today. We're seeing almost a full percent weakness against the dollar. Obviously, there's a couple of dollar specific data points that are coming out this week as well. And that could be driving a bit of dollar strength there. But how are we seeing the Rand play out now in sort of the next 14 days and maybe beyond the 14 days, now that we know for certain that something's going to give from a coalition perspective, but at the same time, we still have a lot of uncertainty that still exists in the market, and investors want to see some finality or want to see some clarity before they move in either direction. Do we see the Rand going back towards 18 Rand or towards 19 Rand at this point?
So I think that you're going to continue to see quite a bit of volatility in the Rand because we don't know what we don't know at this point. And the Rand is reflecting that. So once we'll see like a news article for a, let's call it a business-friendly outcome in coalition talks coming through, and the Rand suddenly strengthens. And then you hear that Kusatu isn't interested in that specific outcome, and then the Rand weakens again. And I think that we're going to continue to see these big reactions to news headlines until we have some sort of finality. Now, obviously, there will be conversations and there will be leaks probably coming through that always tend to come through from the political side. And then you could start seeing a more definitive direction for the Rand. But I think that we are going to be in quite a wide trading range, and it is going to be very volatile, very day-to-day kind of movements that we're seeing right now.
And I think that'll certainly persist for the coming days, especially as we await the outcomes of where we're going to land on those elections. Chantel, if we look at just where we've landed now post last week's vote and how the markets are starting to digest this, are we still seeing pockets of value within some of the local SA counters? I remember, I think it was last week or the week before, you put out SA Inc. as a stock pick in the market to say you're bullish on SA Inc. Is that still the case now that we have a clear outcome from the elections? And if so, which stocks are we looking at, or which sectors even?
Yeah, so I mean, the SA Inc. trade became the consensus trade, and we saw quite a bit of strength in South African banks and retailers going into elections. And we have seen a bit of a pullback from these counters after elections because it is so unclear in terms of what is going to happen. Now, I think that regardless of what happens in the election, when we look at valuation and we look at some of the macroeconomic tailwinds that's coming up. I mean, at a certain point, we are going to start seeing interest rates come down. Inflation has already softened quite substantially, and the consumer should be theoretically in better shape. Your question mark is going to be around the confidence of the South African consumer in terms of what it spends money on. So if we're going to look at the SA Inc. stable, and we're looking for value, and we're looking for spaces where the consumer can't really avoid spending money, I'd probably look at the food and the drug retailers, And some of them are under a lot of pressure for reasons that are very well known. But I mean, we have seen some softness coming through in the likes of a ShopRite, for example. So if you see a further pullback in a high quality company like that, that's in the consumer staple space, I think it could be it could offer a good opportunity. And then on the drug retail side, I think Dis-Chem probably offers you a pretty decent opportunity right now as well. So still bullish SA Inc. I think the banks will probably also do well over the next year or two. But beware, the volatility that we see in the Rand is the same type of volatility that we're going to see in the local stock market, in particular in the SA Inc. shares. So if you don't like seeing your stuff go up and down, perhaps you should look more towards the cheaper Rand hedges right now.
Absolutely. There's definitely going to be some increased volatility, and it's to keep an eye on that. Thank you so much, Chantel. Queen of Valuations joins us once again for a reflection on how the markets have been moving throughout the day and where we can expect them to go in the near term.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.